Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Jacob Garcia, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Daryl. Thanks so much for having me here.
I'm glad you're here. So, Jacob, you are a newsroom fellow here at WBUR. Before we get into the reason you're here, I want to know, how's that going for you?
It's going great. You know, I've met some amazing people here in the newsroom and just getting to learn a lot. You know, I'm rotating every 3 months into different departments. Right now, I'm on the newscast team, and I think it's an awesome opportunity, and I'm really fortunate to have it.
Well, we're very fortunate to have you, and especially because today you are with us to talk about Boston Calling. You're going to give us a little preview, right? Before we get into it, for folks who may not know, right, what makes Boston Calling so special? You know, I get that it's our local music festival, but what makes it unique?
You touched on that, right? It's our local music festival, but it's more than that because we have huge big name acts. This is, for lack of better words, like this is our Coachella, right, over here in Boston. Mm-hmm. It's our opportunity to see a lot of big ticket acts with a pretty affordable price, you know, when you look at it. You get 3 days of music nonstop, and you get to be outside in the sun with your friends and just have a great time, you know? It's beautiful out there. It's hosted at the Harvard Athletic Complex.
Have you ever been?
Oh, yeah. I was there last year.
Ooh, how was that?
It was amazing. I'd never been to a music festival before, and I think this might be just like one of the best ways to enjoy live music.
Tell us about what we can expect.
Yeah, so we've got some awesome acts from, you know, local people. We could talk about those more later, but they've really dedicated mm-hmm. themselves to uplifting the local music scene. And mm-hmm. I mean, as for the big acts, I'm looking forward to the Foo Fighters. I'm looking forward to Paramore. And mm-hmm. Alanis Morissette is somebody else I'm really looking forward to. She's one of the headliners on Saturday. And Alanis Morissette is one of those people that I didn't realize I knew all of her songs. And then I like looked at her like track list. I'm like, wait a second. Like, I know every single one of these guys. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I'm going to have to send a lot of videos to my mom.
Yeah. And I also understand this year they have a lot more women and or non-binary acts, right? Which is a pretty big deal for a music festival.
It definitely is. And I mean, I've spoken to other people about Boston Calling, and there hasn't really been the biggest output of non-male acts, right? Mm-hmm. I've got some numbers pulled up. In 2020, only 29% of the acts were, you know, had non-male, so, you know, featured performers. And this mm-hmm. year, it's up to 57%. So over half.
Yeah, that's really cool. Really cool to see that type of progress being made. However, I got to say, you know, when I looked at this year's headliners, I felt like, you know, the festival wasn't trying to appeal to a more racially or ethnically diverse audience, right? You know, folks who might have a different appreciation for certain types of music, right? The acts that they have are pretty dope. You know, I'm not mad at Foo Fighters or Alanis Morissette or Paramore or any of that, right? But I think it would have been nice to see, you know, some more popular hip hop or R&B acts, you know, get that type of top billing. I guess, do you have a sense of what went into choosing this year's headliners?
First off, I know how you feel. You know, I think we're all still really hoping for more diversity in everything, right? Especially where people are given a platform. I know this isn't necessarily like a hip hop festival. It's more of, it leans more rock, right? Last year was like Metallica, The Strokes. This year's like the Foo Fighters.
They did have Run the Jewels though, right?
They did have Run the Jewels though, and Run the Jewels, like, they did their thing last year. It was pretty awesome to see.
Well, what about among the smaller local acts? Because I guess, you know, if that group is not diverse, right, then we really got a problem, right?
Well, luckily, that's not the case. Luckily, I'd say that's probably our most sort of diverse section there, right? We've got a bunch of bands that have people of all races and colors, you know, representing their people, representing their music. In local acts, you're kind of more likely to see like rap and hip hop and R&B, you know, than some of the higher ticket acts, which I think is pretty interesting. Could have been more people, higher ticket people up on the headlines, but, you know, we'll take a win where we can get it. And, you know, seeing them highlight, you know, the local acts of color is definitely important. We got some awesome talents here in Boston.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we are back. Okay, so you're going. Tell me, who are the local acts that you're excited to see?
Yeah, there's definitely a few of them. Let's see, on Friday, there's going to be Brandi Blaze. She's a rapper based out of here, and I saw her perform one time for free, and, you know, I got to really, really see some awesome bars from her. Mm-hmm. There's Alisa Amador. She is the national Tiny Desk concert winner, and she's also, like, a local from here.
Was she ever at City Space?
Yeah. Alisa Amador was at City Space. So she's making some waves, and she's got this beautiful voice. She's bilingual, so she's singing in English and Spanish, and she's got this beautiful song called Milonga Accidental, which is it's just amazing, and really showcases her talent and her writing and her beautiful voice.
Cuando miro afuera, cuando miro adentro, cuando miro afuera otra vez, de la periferia hasta el mero centro, siempre soy testigo y juez.
Saturday's got some amazing acts. Coral Moon's band is somebody I was really looking forward to seeing last year, but unfortunately, you know, they got rained out. A lot of acts got rained out at Boston Calling last year. And something that is really awesome to see is, you know, those acts that did get rained out were invited back, like Coral Moons.
Nice.
So even though they didn't get to perform, they're going to get the chance this year. And they've got this amazing track. It's called I Feel Alive. The music video has awesome visuals. It's one of those songs that makes you feel like you're in a movie.
Okay, so once a band gets to Boston Calling, what's their experience like? You know, how are they paid? How are they treated? You know, do they feel like they're being treated fairly?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this isn't, you know, the best paying necessarily opportunity for all the local bands. I'm sure there's somewhere where it is. But what this opportunity gives them is a way to connect with new people, you know, branch out, because that's what's so important, especially as a local act, right? Somebody who's not a big ticket act, to have the opportunity to create a new audience, to meet new people, to put yourself out there is super important. I caught up with one of the local acts. They're called the Q-Tip Bandits. When I caught up with them last week at the rehearsal, they were practicing this new song called Tiptoe, which actually just released this week. It's a really fun, energetic song that really speaks to kind of the sound of the band.
You'll tiptoe through the window, taking one more for the road. And he'll hang on to your halo, knowing he's still gotta find his own. Cause he might choke on this tightrope if he don't keep holding on to letting go. He'll be wayward and too far gone, but even the devil needs a friend that he can depend on.
They're one of the first acts at the Blue Stage on Saturday. And
the Blue Stage, that's the one for, you know, the headliners.
Oh, yeah. The Blue Stage is one of the bigger ones. Niall Horan, The Flaming Lips, and King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards are all the three headliners on that stage each night, respectively. I spoke to Claire Davis. She's a vocalist and bassist in the group. And I spoke to Leo Son, who's a vocalist and guitar player. And they're both really excited about this opportunity. And Claire in particular, she told me something awesome, which is just about how, you know, they've been dreaming for this moment for a while.
Leo kind of manifested it when we were just starting out. And he told me very early on, like, in 5 years, like, we're going to be on that lineup. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, totally. And little did we know, 5 years later, he knew, I guess. Leo knew.
I love that.
Isn't that awesome? It's so cool to see somebody, you know, achieve that dream that they've set for themselves. And obviously, it wasn't easy, right? They 5 years is a long time to dedicate yourself to something, to a craft. And it really showcases how much they respect themselves, how much they respect the music industry, and how much they respect their fans, too, to mm-hmm. continuously dedicate themselves.
Are the artists paid for their performances at Boston Calling?
Oh, yeah, they're paid. They're definitely paid. I've spoken to local acts before, though, and they've done other gigs where they've been paid better. But I think for them, it's really about the opportunity that performing at this major music festival gives them. It's something they take really seriously. And Leo Son, the vocalist and guitarist in the Q-Tip Bandits, is really just so overjoyed to get this call to perform.
Boston Calling just makes it more real. It's not like the journey's over, you know, because we achieved this goal. It's like, well, hell, like, you put in this work to make it clear that there's something worth sharing.
All right, so Jacob, I want to step back and revisit our diversity discussion, right? How are the organizers of Boston Calling thinking about this?
I mean, that's hard to answer, right? I can't speak to how they feel about that. I do know that us having this dialogue and, like, other people, you know, rooting for more people of color to be headliners, that has waves, right? I look mm-hmm. at the Book More Women movement, right? Obviously, they're not partners with anyone. They just hold music festivals accountable, right? They're just looking at making sure that women are being featured. And maybe we need more of that for people of color, too. Maybe we just need people to hold others accountable. If we can talk about another music festival, there is BAMS Fest. And it's a completely free music festival. and it is hip-hop, R&B, soul music festival here in Boston. And all of the acts pretty much are acts of color. That happens June 22nd through 24th over here. And they're not just small acts. They got Grandmaster Flash coming over here to perform.
Mm.
Which, if you don't know, you know, he's one of the pioneers of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really just like an awesome opportunity for anybody who does, you know, one, enjoy, you know, soul, funk, jazz, R&B, hip-hop, all of those areas. But it's also a good opportunity for people of color to see people that look like them on stage, you know?
Jacob, thank you so much for coming through to The Common, and I look forward to your recap.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you again, Daryl, for having me here. Really appreciate it. And yeah, go check out those local bands if you're going to make it a Boston Calling. You know, give our people some love.
For sure. Do that. That's WBUR Newsroom fellow Jacob Garcia. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Are you going to Boston Calling? Who are you excited to see? Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.